There is nothing more precious than the Word of God. In Psalm 19, David says that the Word is to be desired more than the finest gold. In Psalm 12, verse 6, he goes further and says the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver purified in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. The Bible is precious and pure, and running through the Bible like a golden thread is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We're glad you tuned in this afternoon as we savor the riches of God's holy, inspired, and infallible Word. It's our hope that this brief time of teaching and reflection will give you a richer, deeper knowledge of that Word and the God who gave it. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Bradenhoff.
Well, good Wednesday afternoon to you. Welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. I'm Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. Glad that you've joined me once again as we're looking at Daniel chapter 2 this week. In this chapter, we find the story of Daniel, who was a Jewish exile in Babylon. This is about 500-600 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was here on this earth. These Jewish exiles were in Babylon because of their sin. God had sent them away from the promised land. And there, Daniel and his three friends were eventually brought into the Babylonian court, became advisors or wise men for King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the Babylonian king. In the beginning of Daniel chapter 2, we read about how Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he wasn't able to remember what it was, but he knew that it was a significant dream, and he wanted to know what the dream was, be able to remember, have someone tell it to him, and then also have someone explain it to him. And he went to his advisors, and they weren't able to tell him the dream. And then, of course, obviously, they weren't able to explain it to him either. That made him furious, and he wanted all these wise men killed. Daniel got wind of this, and Daniel prayed about it, and God gave him the knowledge of what that dream was and its interpretation. So God gave Daniel the understanding. He gave him the revelation. And it wasn't because Daniel was so hot. It wasn't because he was something special or anything like that, because of, you know, that Daniel was a good person or a moral person or anything like that. It was entirely a matter of God's grace. And we saw yesterday, that's the way it always is with believers, actually. You know, we think of a passage like 1 Corinthians 2 and what Paul says there. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 that the unimaginable has been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. The unimaginable, the fact that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ, that the gospel has been given to us, that we can be right with God through Jesus Christ. That is a secret wisdom. That is the wisdom of the cross, which is foolishness to the world. Through the Holy Spirit, we understand the revelation that has been given. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, our eyes are opened to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, that's not because we're so intelligent. That's not because we've, you know, exercised our free will or done something out of our own resources. It's all of grace. It is undeserved from first to last. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 2:14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Listen, friends, all our understanding of God's revelation comes from the gracious work of the Holy Spirit in us. He is the one who opens our hearts and minds and wills to grasp God's truth. Faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Understanding is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And for that reason, we always need to pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. We need him to help us to understand what we read in the Bible, whether we're doing that at church or whether we're doing that at home, whether we're doing that by ourselves. No matter what, we not only need the Word of God to give us revelation, to inform us, but also we need the Holy Spirit to bring those things home to our hearts. Without his help, without the grace of the Holy Spirit, you know, we're just like Nebuchadnezzar. We're in the dark, no understanding. We're just like Nebuchadnezzar's blind men. Can't explain, can't understand anything. Everything we have is from God. All our understanding of God's revelation in the Bible is through the work of the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray that He would continue to help us to understand the Word of God. So the emphasis here in Daniel 2 is on God's work. God is the one who gave that dream to Nebuchadnezzar. God gave the telling of the dream. God gave the interpretation of the dream. But then the dream itself, well, it involved this great and impressive image. It was a statue that the Bible says was dazzling and awesome. A statue with a head of gold, with chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, we're told, and feet partly of iron and partly of clay. And then Daniel says that Nebuchadnezzar saw a rock cut out by hands that were not human. And the rock, it struck the statue and destroyed it. In fact, the whole thing was ground up into powder that blew away like chaff, like the leftover pieces of grass from a threshing floor. Now, a threshing floor, for most people, doesn't mean a whole lot. It's an agricultural thing. And even today, you know, modern agriculture knows nothing of threshing floors. A threshing floor in the ancient world was a place where the harvested grain would be brought. Usually it was on a high exposed location where the wind would blow. And people would bring all the grain there, the grain with the stalks and everything, it would have been cut and then brought there. And then the grain stalks would be tossed up in the air. And then the wind would blow the useless parts away, and the heavier grain would then fall down. Now here the statue is ground up like those useless parts on the threshing floor, and the wind just blows it away. It's the garbage. The rock, however, in the vision or the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, grows bigger and bigger, becomes this huge mountain that fills the entire earth. And then Daniel has to explain the dream. And then when he does that, he takes a very careful approach. This is what he says in verse 36. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. Daniel's taking a careful approach here. He butters Nebuchadnezzar up. He flatters him. He says, you are a king of kings, and so on. He knows from past experiences that Nebuchadnezzar is a volatile person. You have to tread carefully around him. So he wants to soften the blow of what's about to come. And so he speaks highly of him and of his kingdom. And actually, it's not totally insincere or false praise, because it's true that Babylon was a great and magnificent kingdom, and Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest world ruler of his day. And Babylon was nothing to sniff at or snort at. I mean, it was a distinguished kingdom. It had a long and distinguished history. We read about it already in Genesis 10, right near the beginning of the Bible. It was one of the centers of Nimrod's kingdom. Babylon was the location of the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. And Babylon was located between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers in present-day Iraq. And that location naturally made it prime real estate, made it a center of political and military power. It was part of what was known as the Fertile Crescent. Babylon, says Daniel, is the head of gold. And then we have a silver chest and arms. And they represent another kingdom, a kingdom to come, a kingdom that in some respects will be less magnificent. And the third kingdom, the kingdom of bronze, represents another coming world power. And then so does the one of iron with feet of a mixture of iron and clay. And one of the key issues in the book of Daniel is the identity of these kingdoms. Now, the head of gold is easy because we're explicitly told that it's Babylon. But the others have often been the subject of debate and disagreement. And traditionally, they've been identified as being Medo-Persia, which was the chest and arms of silver, Greece, the bronze, and then Rome. Rome is the iron legs with the feet of iron and clay. And I can't see any reason why we shouldn't follow this traditional identification. It makes good sense. God was revealing that there would be these four world empires before the coming of the rock. And this rock would appear during the last kingdom, the one of iron, which is the Roman Empire. And we're told that that kingdom would have feet of iron mixed with clay. And that's just to say that it has an Achilles heel. It has a weak spot. And the weak spot is the fact that it is a conglomerate, a mixture of all kinds of people from different ethnic backgrounds. And indeed, that would be one of the great weaknesses of the Roman Empire. And what would become of all these kingdoms? Well, they would come and they would go. And the value of the metals goes down as we move from one kingdom to another. We go from gold to silver to bronze to iron. But as the value goes down, the strength goes up, at least up to a point. And that tells us that they trade magnificence for strength. But in the end, neither of these qualities, magnificence or strength, can guarantee their durability. They all still fade away, and they all ultimately are crushed and destroyed. During the kingdom of iron, during the Roman Empire, Daniel reveals that a stone will be cut out with hands that are not human. In other words, this stone is cut out with God's hands. And many interpreters, especially in the early church, have seen this as a prophecy of the incarnation of Christ. And the New Testament never directly explains it that way. However, it is true that Christ comes to the kingdoms of this world. He comes during the kingdom of iron. He comes through the work of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The stone cut out with God's hands. What is explicit in the New Testament is that this rock is, in fact, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus himself said it explicitly and directly in Matthew 21:44 and Luke 20:18. And there he quotes not only from Psalm 118, but also from Daniel 2. He reveals himself to be the rock that destroys earthly empires and kingdoms and grinds them up into dust. Daniel prophesies of that king, King Jesus, and his kingdom. The kingdoms of this earth, they've got a human origin. The kingdom of the rock has a divine origin. God created it. God cut it out. The kingdoms of this earth have a temporary duration. They're here and then they're gone. The kingdom of the rock is eternal. Christ is an eternal king. The kingdoms of this earth have a power that is overcome by each succeeding kingdom. And in just a few years, Nebuchadnezzar's own kingdom would fall to the Medes and Persians. The kingdom of the rock has a power that is unconquerable. It will endure forever. It expands and fills the earth as an enormous holy mountain. Well, there's more to say about Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to continue looking at that tomorrow. We've run out of time for today. Hope you'll join me again tomorrow. Till then, may God bless you richly in every way.
Thank you for joining us today for Gospel Talk. If you've appreciated what you've been hearing on this program and you're not already, we'd like to encourage you to find a Christ-centered church with biblical preaching and teaching. For example, you could go online to www.canrc.org to see if there's such a church in your neighborhood. That website again, www.canrc.org. If there isn't such a church nearby and you'd like to be involved in starting one, we invite you to contact us. You can write us via email at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk@hotmail.com. We also have a toll-free number, 1-866-288-1087. That's 1-866-288-1087. Thanks again for joining us this afternoon on Gospel Talk. May Christ's gospel continue to lavishly bless you.